Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another iteration of the Black Seinfeld Show, the show about absolutely nothing. I go by the name of Psyche, and of course, always my co-host. Yeah, that's right. My co-host is not here today. Bastion is off because one, he is sick, and two, he did not want to come in this weather. We're going to get to the weather shortly, but I just want to say we're back again, spinning that intellectual ignorance in your ear one time. I do have intern Mike with me, though, and he's going to come on a bit later, and we're going to talk about some hip-hop things because we haven't done that in a while. We've been having a lot of guests come over, and whenever I have guests come over, I just want to talk about them. You know, I want to talk about the personality. I want you guys, I want my listeners to sort of, I want y'all to like these people because they're a cool personality. They have cool things going on, but, you know, we don't have any guests today. It's just me and Michael. So now we are in the month of March, so it's Women's History Month. Shouts out to the women, ladies first, Queen Latifah, great record, great tune. And, you know, I want to big up one exceptional lady as of now because she's been having her voice heard. Of course, talking about the Stoneman Douglas High Schooler who has been making a lot of waves, Miss Emma Gonzalez. Shouts out to you. And I just want to let y'all know that she proves, and a lot of those students prove, that millennials, we do have a voice, man, and we do want to be heard. A lot of people have this misconception about millennials, like, oh, all we do is eat avocado toast, all we are is entitled, and all we do is just complain. But no, we also have a voice. A lot of y'all just don't want to listen, so now it takes a tragedy for a lot of heroes to arise. So shouts out to Parkland, y'all doing y'all ting, big ups to you. So, yeah, Bastion isn't here. And the reason why Bastion is not here is because he complained about the weather, of course. As of now, at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's a rainy snow mixture. The snow isn't even sticking right now, people. Like, it's not a thing. Oh, Mike, you on. You can talk if you want. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? Black Seinfeld audience.
Hey, so Bastion isn't here. The weather right now, it's not terrible. You know what I mean? As of now, as of 5 o'clock in the morning, as we are recording this, it's not bad. All it is just a rain-snow mixture. And of course, the news has been saying that we're going to have another nor'easter. We're supposed to have another snowstorm, 6 to 12 inches. And the thing about it is, like, people, you just have to understand and realize is that meteorologists predict the weather. They honestly don't know what's going to happen. I mean, sure, they have technology to determine what's going to happen, but in actuality, they really don't know what's going to happen.
Facts.
So I'm more of a, like, we can just wait and see sort of thing. So you just wait and see. It's supposed, allegedly, the snowfall is supposed to really start building up at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Hey, and a lot of kids is tight today because
y'all gotta go to school.
Yeah. Well, de Blasio's been doing a good job, though. Like, he shuts down school all the time, except for this one time.
And I will say this, too. I want to give a big up to de Blasio. I want to give up a big up to the city, actually, because sanitation has been doing a great job when it comes to these snowstorms as of late. I remember one time back in the Bloomberg era, there was this big snowstorm. Y'all remember when it snowed like 2 feet and a lot of the streets weren't cleared after like a week, but yeah, it seemed like Bloomberg's block was cleared off instantly, but a lot of us in the hood and stuff, our streets was still full of snow. We were basically trapped in. It was like 4 years ago.
Nah, that was the epic 2010 storm.
That was 2010?
Yeah, that was 2010. We was in 11th grade. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Man.
Just imagine going via public transportation from East New York to Harlem when the bus is running one time every hour.
Ooh.
And then you got to think about like 100 people trying to get on that one bus. I never get that.
I remember my sister had to go to the doctor, so we tried to take the train, but the trains weren't running that well, so we just had to go back home.
But like you said the hood in Brooklyn, it was like up to here, up to the high. It was like kids flat top. It was like, yeah, so high. But when you got to Manhattan, you wouldn't even know like a snowstorm happened.
See, and that's the thing about Manhattan is the fact that they try, the city tries their hardest and their damnedest to make sure Manhattan is always running. You know what I'm saying? Forget the other boroughs. They just care about Manhattan. I feel like the city now is paying attention to all the other boroughs as well. You know what I'm saying? I saw some sanitation out, some sanitation trucks outside when I was coming here, and they were already laying down the salt for the road. So shouts out to y'all, man. I understand it's not an easy job. Y'all, hopefully y'all get paid. That's all I hope. Y'all get paid. Y'all get this money, because it must suck waking up that early to lay down some salt.
I think they get a time and a half for it. Because my mother's friend, he works for sanitation. He said he loves it when it happens because he gets paid like double than what he makes usually. So he said he loves it. He said, bring on the snow.
Shouts out to time and a half. But do you expect it to this snow to be a big deal?
No, because school's open.
Yeah, but we live in New York, though.
But de Blasio shuts down school. Like,
that's a good point.
I remember when we was in school, Bloomberg didn't care. He said, the trains is working, you're going to school. Because I remember the epic 2010, I had to take a Regents, and it was like a foot of snow, and I still had to go to school.
Right, but the thing was, I remember that it was like a recess, though. Wasn't it? It was a recess, because I remember Bloomberg went on the news or whatever. He's like, oh, well, kids, you already out of school. So it's like, whatever.
It was right before Christmas break. It was late 2010. It was like right before Christmas break.
Why do I feel like it was a January or something?
No, nah, it was 2010 because I was in 11th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I want to give a special shout out to global warming, okay, because, you know, I felt like every year for the past, I'd say, 3 years, we've only had like one big snowstorm, and the rest, and after that, winter's just been chill. It's just been cold as balls. That was it. So shouts out to you, global warming, okay? Although you do not exist, according to, you know, of course, Mr. 45. I mean, think about it. Like, 2 weeks ago, it was 75 degrees. I was up on the rooftop because, yeah, we have a rooftop. I was eating a sandwich. I was listening to some Lauryn Hill. Like, I was vibing, and now 2 weeks later, we getting some snow.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about New York, though. Just like its people, where it's very unpredictable. It's always been like this March thing. Do you realize this?
Yes.
Like every March, there has to be some sort of snow.
March is bipolar. Like you said, it's 75 degrees, and now it's about to be a snowicane. Like, it's crazy. But the snow has been real. It's been snowing all over the United States this winter.
It has. It really has, man. Including down south. Which, you know, you have family down south, and whenever they see snow, they run for cover.
I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when they had snow, and they shut down the whole entire city for a half an inch. They shut down the whole city.
Well, see, you got to realize it's where they live. They're not used to snow.
I know.
You know, they don't have the tires for it. They probably don't even have salt. Like, they have to go and find salt somewhere.
My aunt told me, she said it was a snowplow, one snowplow in the whole state.
See?
So, like, they shut down the whole entire city, so the kids weren't in school for, like, 2 weeks for a half an inch. And I just think when I was taking a Regents in a foot, I was hating.
Right, but we're used to that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In, like, 6 inches, like, you're in school no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want to give a special shout-out to the kids, man, you know. Stay in school. Go to school, man. Learn something.
But you know how it is. Ain't no one going to school anyway.
Yeah, well, see, but the thing is, they look outside. I'm like, yo, you got to go to school.
True, true.
Think about it. If there's no snow hitting the ground, there's only snow on the cars, right?
Yeah.
As a parent, I'm like, sorry, cuz, you got to go to school.
My mom's do the same thing. She'll be like, you can walk, right?
Yeah, like, literally, you can seriously, like, just walk.
You can see the ground. You can see the grass. Do you see that bus? You're going to school.
Exactly. Like, I understand if you look outside and it's, like, 6 feet of snow or even a foot, and you're like, all right, stay home. But if you look outside right now and it's nothing, Your ass is going to school. I'm sorry, cuz.
That's a fact.
You're going to school.
Get that education, kids.
Get your education, man. Support black teachers.
True.
Support teachers in general. Y'all need to get paid more.
Yeah, they need to get paid way more than what they get paid.
So, real quick, I want to thank everyone again for tuning into Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing, here at 99.5 FM WBAI. And, you know, I want to give a big shout out to the people that always listens, not just in New York, but also in the tri-state area, New Jersey, you know, Connecticut, but also other people from like Canada and the Caribbean. We got a nice Canadian Caribbean population that listens to the show, is because, you know, I'm Caribbean, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people listening to this that live in Canada are also Caribbean. So shouts out to y'all. Shouts out to people that are in the Caribbean laughing at us right now with this snowstorm that's supposed to happen. And I just want to say, man, that this station is important to us because this is one of the few commercial-free radio stations that we have. So we don't have any corporate sponsors. You know, we don't have any of that. So it's important because freedom of speech is important, and it's important for us to get that information out to the people. So if you rock with this intellectual ignorance, okay, I would love if y'all could donate to the show, donate to the station. It's real easy. All you have to do, people, is text the letters WBAI to the number 41444. Okay, something's going to pop up. It's going to ask how much money you want to donate. It's as little as $5, people. As little as $5, okay? You know, if you want to get a chopped cheese, like, I feel you, but, like, help us out. You know what I'm saying? Give us $5 so, you know, it goes back to the station. It goes back to us. So that way, you know, we can still be on air and give you this rhetoric. You know what
true,
I mean?
True. Five, if you want to give 5,000, if you want to give 500.
If you're very liberal, you can give 500, but I'm saying, because I understand, I know who my listeners are. A lot of listeners are our age, you know.
Absolutely.
Some of them are still in school. Some of them are getting the master's. Some of them are, let's be real, some of y'all are broke, okay? So give what you are willing to give, you know what I mean? Shouts out to y'all, because without y'all, I really wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
So now I want to get into the Academy Awards 2018. Have you seen it, Mike?
Yes, I did.
Good. See, this is why I have Michael here, y'all.
Did you see the part when Black Panther, when they won the war for Get Out and they did the Wakanda handshake?
Absolutely.
That was amazing. That was epic.
I want to give a special shout out to the host Jimmy Kimmel once again for killing it. He did a good job last year, but I feel like he did a better job this year because it was the second time hosting it in a row. So he implements some great things. One of my favorite things he implemented was the jet ski concept.
Yep, yep.
Where the person who won an award had the shortest amount of had the shortest amount of time saying their speech walked home with a jet ski.
Yeah,
which is a dope concept, but it puzzles me because I feel like if I want to win a jet ski, all you would have to say is thank you for this award and just walk off. That's a shoo-in to get a jet ski.
Absolutely. And I don't really think they really care because most of those people can just buy a jet ski if they felt like it. In reality.
That's one thing about the Academy Awards. It's just a huge rich off. It's just a lot of rich people.
Rich, famous, successful people.
In one building. They're probably like, I can buy 10 of those jet skis. But it's free, though, and people still love free.
Absolutely. But you got to understand the emotional concept around the whole entire winning Academy Award.
Like, that is true.
You got to thank everybody.
That is very true.
You got to thank the people that brought you there. You got to thank your block. You got to thank the producers. You got to thank the Academy, whatever that means. They always say that. I want to thank the Academy for this opportunity.
Yeah, the Academy is made up of a lot of olden people.
Yeah, yeah.
That you know, critique movies and blah, 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 blah. But I want to get into Jimmy Kimmel's dialogue. You know, no, I'm sorry, his monologue when opening the show, because, you know, he did mention a lot of things such as the Me Too movement. He mentioned Parkland, Florida. And a lot of people within the audience cheered for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, especially the Me Too movement, because the Academy didn't want Kimmel to touch that at all. But Kimmel was so against that, he was like, "No, we have to talk about it. It's prevalent within the Hollywood society right now. It's important.
No matter how much money you make, that affects you. The Me Too movement affects everybody because it's us, it's people. Like, it affects everybody. Everybody goes through something like that. Mm-hmm. Or they know somebody that went through something like that, so it affects you.
Exactly.
Regardless, even the school shootings, that affects people because that can be somebody's family member. So stuff like that affects them. So, like, you have to cover those topics.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, there's always going to be a bit of controversy when it comes to these sort of things. And one of the biggest controversy is the fact that the homie Kobe won an Academy Award.
Yes, yes.
For Dear Basketball.
I was hoping he was going to bring this up.
Oh, absolutely. And Gary Oldman won Best Actor for Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
So the controversy is, of course, with Kobe,
the sexual assault case from 2003.
And with Gary Oldman, he abused his wife.
Yeah.
Back in 01 or 02, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. And I felt...
What do you think about this?
Well, I felt...
Do you think it's justifiable?
No, I don't really think it's justifiable.
On the fact of Kobe.
I'm talking about Kobe right now. Like, I don't feel like... I feel Kobe... Whatever happened, it was the past. People make mistakes of what he did. I know what he did was real, 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 real. He did admit to having sex with that woman or whatever, but the charges were dropped. You know, people make mistakes. He moved on. That was over 15 years ago. And I know, like, people compared it, like, to Bill Cosby, whatever, but I don't think that should justify, so, like, he should get controversy from the Oscar. Like, that was separate from his personal life. You don't have to like him for his personal life, but the Academy liked what his art, his performance. So I feel like that's not the same, it's not important in that situation. I know, but, like, with the Me Too movement, like, they have to talk about it. Like, nobody's safe from that. But I don't think like, Kobe's case should have anything to do with his Oscar.
I have a different approach on this. I feel like, yes, you are definitely right with something. Kobe did admit to sleeping with this young woman, right? He admitted, like, yeah, I smashed. Did Kobe rape her? Hell no, Kobe ain't rape her.
Of course not.
And that's the big thing. Because, one, Kobe's a black man. He's rich. He's successful.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get racial in here. A lot of black men do find themselves, who are successful and wealthy, do find themselves in this predicament because women lie, people. Like, I'm sorry. Women can lie. Like, you don't understand. As a man growing up with a lot of women in the family, even the women tell me, like, yo, don't trust these hoes.
My mother tells me that,
because they lie and they stink and they'll try and get you. I mean, think about it. It took the lady who accused Emmett Till of whistling to her to admit that she was lying on her deathbed. She took that to her deathbed because she knew if she came out and said, oh, it was a lie within her youth, or any other time when she was still healthy, you would get a lot of backlash. Now, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially back then, but it being a black man. You know, you're not even supposed to...
He's not even a black man. He was a child.
He was black still. So back in those times in the 50s, even interacting with somebody of color was looked upon as, like, bad. Like, so, like... She had to make something up, like, oh, he attacked me. He looked at me wrong. So she can look better, you know, than Emmett Till.
But things are way more subtler now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? In the 21st century. So I feel like Kobe did the right thing when he admitted, like, yeah, I slept with her. But, and I think it took Kobe to admit, like, yeah, I slept with her, for me to realize, like, yeah, she's probably lying. She probably really wanted to smash Kobe Bryant.
It's probably some politics behind that. It was probably like a
conversation.
It was probably like a conversation, like, oh, if I do this, you got to do this. And then he probably, after they finished what they was doing, she probably said no. And then, you know.
Nah, Kobe probably dubbed her. Kobe still,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kobe's still a real one after all. So Kobe probably dubbed her-ish real quick.
And then shout out to him after that. After that court case, he had like 38 points in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Shouts out to Kobe, man. So, hey, all you LeBron fans out there, all you Jordan fans out there, I know you're wearing some Jordans right now. Kobe's the greatest. You know why?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Kobe got an Oscar. Jordan never got an Oscar for Space Jam.
He should have. That's the highest selling.
Yo, no, he should not.
That's the highest selling sports movie of all time.
No, he should not. Because it's one of the only ones.
There's more sports movies.
Like what?
Oh, Basketball Diaries. That counts as a sports movie.
No.
He Got Game.
What's that?
Exactly. That's a movie with Ray Allen and Spike Lee. Spike Lee joint.
Seriously?
And Denzel Washington.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Above the Rim.
Above the Rim.
That should be the closest one.
That was a classic.
That's
a classic. I was at the park where they filmed that movie the other day.
Hey.
On 135th and Lenox.
You know, Dwayne and Tisha getting divorced now, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy, man.
They've been together for 20 years.
Yeah, man.
Do you think it's a coincidence that how, like, they're talking about bringing back Martin caused that?
That's wild. I mean, because Tisha and Martin squashed the beef. Yeah. So, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, but you think, like, Dwayne might be jealous or something?
Yeah, he probably feels some type of way. He's like, oh, you going to go back to Martin after all that?
Hey,
well, I mean, we don't know.
Hold on. I want to get into some of the Oscar winners really quick.
Oh, before you do that, got to give a shout out to Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, yeah. And Maya Rudolph, too. I thought the two worked very well off each other. Tiffany wore her dress again that she wore from Saturday Night Live. And that's why America loves Tiffany Haddish, especially Black America, too, because she's still that ghetto chick from South Central. Yeah.
But you want to hear, like, the ignorance and, like, the controversy she got for wearing that dress twice? Everybody's like, oh, she got enough money to get a new dress. Why she got to wear that dress twice?
That's only fashionistas, I feel, have that sort of comment towards her, because, like, we don't really care about that.
She's doing her thing. She's, like, winning right now.
Yeah, let her do her thing.
She got her own show
she's
coming.
She's very frugal, too, man. Shouts out to Groupon.
Yeah.
So I don't care about that, man.
Me either. Like,
let Tiffany do her thing.
And she has her own show coming out in April, too.
Hey.
With Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Next month, it comes on TBS.
That's what's up. That's what's
up. She's doing her thing. She's winning right now.
So, winner for Best Picture, it goes to Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro. Mm-hmm. Not the movie I would want to win, but Guillermo, he does make great films. Of course, you got Pan's Labyrinth, you got The Blade. Yeah, I call it the fish banging movie because that's what it seemed like to me on the trailers, man. I'll be real honest. What did you think about Shape of Water getting Best Picture?
I thought that movie, I didn't really like that movie, but.
Oh, you saw it?
I saw like some of it, but I wasn't really interested in it because I didn't know what was going on.
I think it was like the lady who worked there, she doesn't really speak up for herself or whatever.
And yeah, I know. Yeah.
And she like falls in love with this manfish.
Yeah, it was corny. But I guess the Academy, they like the critique. They like the camera motions, the pan lefts and the pan rights, all that stuff that I learned in school. I guess that's how they got the Academy.
Yeah. Shape of Water walked home with the most Oscars.
Yeah.
I think they walked home with at least 4 Oscars.
Absolutely.
And of course, we got Gary Oldman, of course, Darkest Hour.
Yes.
Best Actress goes to Frances McDormand for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I wanted to see this movie, but I never got a chance to see this movie.
I didn't see it either.
And then Sam Rockwell gets Best Supporting Actor, of course, for 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri as well. I kind of want to see it now.
I definitely want to see it. I felt like when Kanye West at the Grammys, when he got mad when that artist won,
mm-hmm.
and then he started listening to their music and he liked it. I think that's what I'm going to feel when I see that movie.
Okay. Best Supporting Actress goes to Allison Janney for I, Tanya. Which was another movie I actually wanted to see when it was advertised, but I'm too busy. I'm busy now, man. I don't have time to go see movies like I used to.
Yeah, honestly, most of the films that were nominated for Oscars, I didn't see myself either.
Word? You didn't see Dunkirk?
No.
Man. You didn't see Coco?
I saw Coco.
Okay, that
I saw deer basketball too.
That doesn't count.
I saw deer basketball.
Everyone's seen deer basketball on Facebook. Oh yeah, best original screenplay goes to the one and only Jordan Peele for Get Out.
Salute
to Get Out. At least winning something. They had to win something.
They had to. That movie was too good not to win something.
And this was the first ever horror film ever by a black director to win a Best Original Screenplay.
That's amazing.
Which is, it's weird saying that because it's 2018. But, hey, man, Academy Awards, you know, they always have this criteria of what they look for in movies. And
The camera, the lighting, which motion is he in, like, stuff like that.
See, and the thing is, like, we're film students, so, so like, we just grew up on just, like, watching the Oscars.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we complain about it every year. We're like, man, why are we looking for the Oscars to validify our movies?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But...
Oh, sorry to cut
no,
you
go on.
Well, most of the movies that we watch aren't even in the conversation for Oscars.
That is true.
Most of them we watch. BET Awards, yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oscars, no. Most of them. Get Out, well, obviously Get Out. But next year's Oscars is going to be epic.
You think Black Panther is going to be nominated?
Absolutely. Michael B. Jordan has to win Best Supporting Actress. Actor. He has to. Because Killmonger, I know we talked about this last week, but Killmonger was that man, man. He was epic.
Listen, I agree with you, but you have to understand the way that the Academy is. They go for artsy movies. Like, they go for movies where gay dudes are like, chilling in this mansion or whatever. and you know what I mean? Like, that's what they rock with.
But Denzel Washington, Training Day. They usually give
why did Denzel have to be crooked before he took it? That's what Jada said.
Exactly, but usually when the black person wins it, they do something like that. They live foul. They do something like that. Michael B. Jordan fits that description. He was going crazy doing his thing.
But see, the thing is, the differences between Denzel's character in Training Day and Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger is a lot of black people sort of rock with Killmonger, though. You know what I mean?
We rock with Denzel, too.
We rock with Denzel, but the logic that Killmonger has within the movie makes us, we don't really see him as a villain that much. Denzel was undeniably the villain. Absolutely. In Training Day. He was a likable villain, but he was still like a bad guy nonetheless for what he did to Ethan Hawke.
True.
Leaving him in the hood, trying to get him killed. That's just my opinion on it.
Oh, yeah, we got to give a shout-out to Mary J. Blige, too.
Why?
Because she was in Oscars, too.
Yeah, she was for Mudbound. That was a cool movie. Yeah. I saw that on Netflix, man. Shouts out to the Oscars for recognizing some Netflix movies, but I feel like Beast of No Nation should have been nominated that year when it was Oscar So White because Idris Elba did a great job.
Yes.
But we are up in the 30-minute mark. And so, you know, because it's Women's History Month, I want to give... You know, the women's a time to shine. And, you know, these are some two legends. Michiwan, Luchilu. You know, this is a track called Rich Girl. Trust me, when we play the track, you're instantly going to know the song. You're going to start dancing. This is Black Seinfeld, Show About Nothing. We'll be right back. Peace.
Big up all ghetto youth on a rich and switch. All massive and crew, Michiwan, Luchilu just passing through. Girl, step up. No make a test me. He impressed me. Jake to hurry, Miss Elaine.
Oh God.
money, 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 money can't buy love. Money, money, could I give it to me plenty? Money, money, money can't buy love. Money can buy you a car for driving on. Money can buy you a house to live in on. Money can buy you nice, pretty things. But no money could not buy no license loving.
If I was a rich girl,
would you ever switch, girl?
Never see a rich girl.
Would you ever switch, girl?
If I was a,
if you was a,
if I was a,
if you was a,
if I was a wealthy girl.
Welcome back to the show, them Black Seinfeld. That was Mitch, you are Lucci, little rich girl. Big up to the Jamaicans. You already know. Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, y'all. This is the show about absolutely nothing. I go by the name of Psyche. I have intern Mike with me here.
Hello, people.
Bastion is not here because he is sick. And he did not want to come in this weather, which I don't know how is it looking right now, but I don't hear that much rain anymore. I don't know. It might be snowing now. It was snowing when I got here, but it was a snow and rain mixture, and nothing was sticking as of yet. So I'm inside right now. I don't have any windows. I don't know what it's like right now. But I guess that right now I can only assume that it's not sticking as of yet. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
The reason why I have you here for this music portion of the show is because you told me something Monday about this whole King of New York debate. Once again, please inform the youth them about this story within the hip-hop community again.
Okay, new up-and-coming rapper Jay Critch from Brooklyn, New York, signed a six-figure deal with a record label. I forgot the label. And Tekashi 6ix9ine felt some type of way about it, saying he's the king of New York and sending subliminals at him saying, like, oh, I'm the king of New York. I run New York. Dudes in New York is always worried about me because this dude with colorful hair is running New York and making hit songs. Why everybody mad? And Don Q said, only dude in New York that's above me is Hov. Had his little 2 cents. And then Dave East had his 2 cents, said, ain't no kings. I'm just trying to get to the bag, so, you know, so.
And then, I'm sorry, Joey Badass recently threw his 2 cents in there.
Yes.
As well. And I'd like to ask you, what do you think qualifies yourself to become the king of New York? What qualifications do you need to have in order to be labeled king of New York?
Universal status around New York. Because if I can, like, stop a person and say, recite this lyric from this artist, and you have to know at least one, like, whole entire verse from that artist, that may qualify you, like Jay-Z. Like, if you can go up to somebody and say, yo, Give me a Jay-Z lyric. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hov. Everybody knows that.
Correct.
Even a Nas lyric. What up, kid? I know it's rough doing your bid. When the cops came, you should have slid to my crib. One love. So, like, most of these rappers that are out now are, like, local with the millennials. Mm-hmm. If you ask an old person or OG about Tekashi 6ix9ine, they wouldn't know. They'd be like, oh, that's that dude with the colorful hair, right? Like, but they wouldn't know a song.
Right.
But also, I feel like the King of New York itself has to be bigger than hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody doesn't listen to hip-hop.
That is true.
So, like, when I think about the King of New York, like, itself, I would have to say Frank Sinatra. Because he was probably, like, the first artist to rep a city that I can think of.
That is true. And then, you know, I feel like what qualifies you to be the King of New York is, one, you don't even call yourself King of New York yet. Especially now, because a lot of these artists, they're new, as you just said. So they're still building up their resume. And yeah, you may have a hit, but you just have a couple hits right now. You're still young. You're still new. You could easily, like, Fetty Wap yourself. Because people thought Fetty was the King of New Jersey, like, damn near 3 years ago. And now Fetty Wap...
Wow, that was 3 years ago.
Exactly. And now Fetty Wap hasn't been the same since.
Yeah. Yeah. Fetty Wap. Who else? Trinidad James.
See? He's another one.
He was supposed to be next up in Atlanta.
Exactly. Just because you have a couple of hits doesn't automatically solidify you as King of New York right now. Just because, I mean, you could be hot right now in New York. You could be hot. That's a thing. That's always been a thing. But you're not the king as of yet. And I feel like artists got to stop just branding themselves as the King of New York, because when you do that, a lot of people are just going to look at you differently. A lot of people are going to have their reservations off you off top. I feel like when you're the King of New York, you don't even have to say it. Like, and plus, New York has a lot of kings anyways.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Diddy.
Definitely Diddy.
Nas. Jay.
Cam.
You know what I mean? Of course, you have the legends that pass. You have Big Pun.
Absolutely.
You have Biggie.
Absolutely.
And I feel like they've never said, like, oh, I'm the King of New York.
Never.
They let the music speak for themselves, and then they started branding themselves King of New York. Like, Hov has been out since, like, what, 88, 89?
Mm-hmm.
And then he started branding himself King of New York when The Blueprint dropped, and it did undeniably well.
That was prime Hov. I think in The Blueprint, he was in his bag, that album.
Exactly.
Takeover came out. He was going at every New York rapper that you can think about on that album. And that solidified him, because at mm-hmm. that time, New York was at his all-time peak.
Yeah.
And that during that time, and he just did Takeover, and everybody was like, okay. People were saying that Jay-Z was the GOAT after Takeover came out.
Exactly. And then it literally solidified him when he came out with the Black Album, when he tried to do his whole retirement thing.
Yeah.
And then look at Nas. Nas didn't start calling himself the King of New York. He just repped New York and Queensbridge so hard, he had New York state of mind. Yeah.
I feel that we say the King of New York. We say that. The people say that.
The people say. Exactly. The people say. You know what I'm saying? And the people say it due to your catalog, due to how much you rep this city, how much influence and impact that you have throughout these five boroughs. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's too early for these kids.
Yeah, they don't even have albums out.
Exactly. A lot of them don't even have albums out. Tekashi has, like, a mixtape out, which,
yeah,
I ain't gonna lie, like, I kind of like it.
I like it, too.
I kind of like it. But, like, just give it some time, man. Even 50. 50 had to go at New York entirely in order for himself to become king. He had to get Ja Rule the hell up out of here in order for himself to become. He came out. He came at Jadakiss. Wait, matter of fact, he came
Piggy
after the
bank.
Whole D-Block, okay?
Yeah, Piggy Bank.
Fat Joe, okay? Of course, Murder, Inc., like...
Nas.
He went at everyone. Mobb Deep, I believe?
He did a little subliminal to Mobb Deep, but it wasn't that bad.
He came at everyone to become one of the kings of New York, okay?
He just basically went at everybody in hip-hop.
Exactly.
At one point, 50 was the king of New York. I probably say for 5 years, he was the king.
Absolutely.
I get money, I run New York. He wasn't lying.
See, and look, it's because 50's came out with, like, undeniably, like, hits.
Yeah.
And of course, Get Rich or Die Tryin' is a classic debut album.
And the Maska had one of the highest selling first weeks in the history of music.
Word, I'll never forget when Disco Inferno dropped. And of course, you have to make impact. I keep reiterating this, you have to make impact within the city. I was a G-Unit soldier, people. Okay? All right? I have no shame of admitting this. I had the G-Unit shirts. I had the G-Unit pants. I had the G-Unit sneakers. Okay? Do you remember the white and gray G-Unit sneakers?
Everybody on the first day of fifth grade had those.
And the G, right? Had the it had that spin piece to it.
Yeah, John Cena used to have it too in wrestling. Right. Yeah.
So my sneakers would literally be spinning.
Yes.
So yes, shouts out to the G Unit crew. And of course, he bought his whole G Unit thing was insane as well. Yeah, Lloyd Banks, who is undeniably very underrated here, people.
Yes.
Lloyd Banks got bars. You got Tony Yayo.
Shorty So Seductive dancing on me. That was a classic.
Man, she moves. Oh my God. Yo, I want to play that next week, bro.
I was listening to that the other day. No, but I was also about young Lloyd Banks. He did the Hot Dude beat for Bobby Smurf. Well, that was his beat.
Oh, yeah. Hot Jigga.
So.
From the Jackpot, right?
Just think about that. He
Wasn't
made
Lloyd
one.
Banks.
His beat was one of the hottest songs in New York in 2014. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. June, it ran summer 2004 and summer 2005. After 50 Cent came with the Get Rich or Die Tryin', Lloyd Banks came out. Mm-hmm. Young Buck came out after that. Tony Yayo, when he came home from jail, came out.
Yep.
Even The Game, he was with G-Unit too.
Yeah.
And then everything else dropped after that. With that
right.
Game
but see,
situation.
But see, as we're reminiscing, like, you can understand why, like, 50
yeah.
can be one of the kings of New York. Is based off of impact, and I feel like a lot of these kids, you know, I shouldn't even say young guys. I should say, you know, people my age, our age,
yeah,
y'all should just like relax. I understand y'all want to be the king. I understand that y'all want to be the one, but like, just give y'all career some time to marinate, because like, we may not be even knowing if you're gonna be here in the next 3 years. Ask Fetty Wap,
and also. All classic artists and kings that we would say always had an album that solidified that.
That is true.
None of these guys have an album out yet.
That's a good point.
And you know what I'm saying? I know like people don't sell 860,000 albums in the first week anymore. 50 Cent did that. The Blueprint went gold in a week. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like,
that is very true.
Even though Illmatic was a flop, it still was classic. It was like one of the highly anticipated albums. Of that time. Ready to Die was a highly anticipated album.
That's a good
point.
Even
The Infamous was highly anticipated.
See, I think the thing is now with streaming, people, of course, they're going to have way more streams than they are going to buy the actual physical copies of the music. So what do we go off of now? How do we determine, like...
The culture. You got to see, like, you got to go, like you just said, all five boroughs. I got to go through... Brooklyn, I gotta go through Queens, I gotta go through the Bronx, I gotta go even Staten Island, I gotta go through Lower East Side and Harlem, and I gotta hear that song. If I hear that song in all five of those places, well, all six of those places, but all five boroughs, even if you go outside, like in the suburbs, like Westchester, Long Island, if I hear that song, then I'll like look into it and put you in that conversation. Because Bobby Smurden, when he came out, they played that everywhere.
That is very true.
And most of these rappers who are in this, whatever this is called, I don't know if it's called beef or whatever this is. You only hear them in their borough.
Okay.
Like, unless you're like the casual hip-hop fan may know, but like I mean, yeah, the casual hip-hop fan may not know, but like the hardcore hip-hop fan would know, but like the casual hip-hop wouldn't know about these artists. That's what I'm saying.
In your opinion, who do you think is the closest right now to being king of New York?
Out of today's rap?
Out of today's generation.
Out of the new artists or just artists?
No, out of the new artists.
Wow.
Because we already know who.
Yeah.
Right.
I got it. Wow. That's an excellent question.
I think the closest one we have right now, and I don't even think he debated any of this as well either. Did A Boogie give his 2 cents in this?
No.
There you go. A Boogie's been pretty, like, he's been getting up there. Drowning was a hit. I've heard Drowning.
And he has a crossover success.
He does. He does.
Crossover success. You know what? A Boogie for 2000, Giovanni.
I think A Boogie is definitely one of them. I think, you know, a lot of people will ask, well, what about Joey Badass? Joey Badass has like a niche audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is very niche.
That pro-era audience.
Exactly. I love Joey Badass. I thought his album was one of like top five of 2017. But to me, he doesn't reach that as Mike said, that casual fan aspect of hip hop as a Drake or a Kendrick can. You know what I'm saying? Joey's more of a lyrical miracle, spiritual individual criminal kind of rapper. You
absolutely
know what I mean? More of that 90s boom back. He likes he likes doing that, and I got nothing against it. I love it, but a lot of people, and it may shock a lot of people, a lot of people don't want to hear a lot of that. You know what I mean? So I feel like A Boogie has that reach of reaching more people with his sort of singing flow, and he does rap a little bit occasionally, but his melodies and his hooks have sort of made him a little bit of a king. He's the closest to me.
Yeah, and he's
the closest.
And he's the only dude in New York that has crossover success outside of the tri-state area. Like, you go to Baton Rouge, they're bumping Drowning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so people know about Tekashi down south, but because of the hair.
Yeah.
They was like, I remember when he first came out, my cousins were like sending me videos. They was like, this is what's coming out in New York? He said, this is what's coming out in New York right now?
And when it comes to Queen, it's undeniable that Cardi is the queen.
Oh, yeah, no debate. Now. No debate.
Of course, you have your Nicki Minaj's. Yeah. I like Remy. I want to put Remy in there, but
there's a lot of politics with Remy, because I feel like Remy can spit with the best in them. She has bars, no debate. But when it comes to like her songs, she can't do a song. If you listen, she can't do a song by herself.
That is true.
Her hit songs is with somebody.
That is very.
There's nothing wrong with that. Same thing with French Montana. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know,
Yeah. But the biggest artist to come out of New York right now, undeniably, is Cardi B.
Absolutely.
Without question. So she already has that queen status, like off top.
And then she may not even be a New York artist because she has that crossover success. Like, when I think about Jay-Z, I don't think about the New York anymore, because he did that like in the Reasonable Doubt, In My Lifetime era, Blueprint era. After the Blueprint, it was just Jay-Z, not Jay-Z for Marcy. So like, I feel like in order to do that, like, in order to be the king, you have to, like I said, have that crossover success.
True, but also, you know, when it comes to those people that we mentioned, they still stay so New York, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
They still, like, Jay-Z's still so Brooklyn. Like, remember in Story of OJ where he's like, I could have bought a building in Dumbo? That's a New York thing. That's a Brooklyn thing.
Absolutely.
Because Dumbo's a spot in Brooklyn. So when he said that, I'm like, yeah, he's still.
And then my cousins was like, Dumbo? What's Dumbo? I said,
exactly.
Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Dumbo is a very expensive part of Brooklyn right now. There's a lot of buildings being made, and trust me, Dumbo's a tight spot to live in, man. You need some money.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's very hard. Like, that at one point was like the hardest title to get. Yeah. Now I feel like now it's open. Anybody can get it now.
Just because they feel like they're hot, though.
Yeah, it's open now, like. There's not really, like, rappers in New York City that are really, like, doing a thing except for Cardi B and A Boogie. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really care about
exactly.
It.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I love Don Q. I think Don Q is dope. But, like, does anyone else, like,
know him?
Know Don Q? Or are familiar with Don Q? Yeah. And plus, like, he and A Boogie are, like great friends. And
yeah,
they're label mates and everything. So, I don't know, man. We'll see. Only time can tell. I'd like to get off this topic because we have about 4 minutes left. The date is March 7th, and in a couple of days, 2 days, you know, it's the anniversary of the death of Biggie Smalls.
2 days.
New York legend.
March 9th. Speaking of a king.
Speaking of a king, Biggie Smalls, anniversary. And I want to get into the Death Row stuff really quick.
Okay.
The Death Row documentary, because you said it was whack.
It was, because we know the story already.
I disagree, though. We do know the story, yes.
Speak your mind.
We do know the story, but I felt like it was presented wonderful. It was presented well. And the thing is, what I did appreciate was the Death Row aftermath, where you got to see the fall of Suge Knight.
Yeah.
I thought those were really great episodes. The fall, the aftermath of Pac and Biggie's deaths, and then Suge going off to jail. You got to see when Suge came out of jail, and you got to see this decline of what once was.
Yeah.
And now everything is just going downhill. You feel me?
They called it the row. When Suge came back out, they called it the row.
Yeah, he had a couple artists. Like, I remember Crooked Eye was one of the artists.
Yeah. Spider Loke, too.
Yeah.
Spider Loke, he was with G-Unit. But Corrupt was like the president.
Right. And the thing was that they tried, they still relied on the past to still generate an income. Absolutely. When you should focus on the future. You feel me? But Suge just, let's just say karma caught up with Suge, okay?
Yeah.
And now he's in jail.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah.
And he is a shell of his former self.
Absolutely.
But of course, Biggie Small passed away about 21 years ago now.
Yep, 97, March 9th, 97.
97.
21 years.
I always joke it to my sister because that's her birthday, and I'm like, yo, it's a special day today. Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls. And she always gets upset, and I'm happy about this.
In the words of Cannabis, the best rapper of all time died on March 9th.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. People still bumping his stuff to this day. When Juicy comes on, Juicy is just like, it's just an American dream.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Biggie's just so universal, not only in the city of New York, but everywhere. You
yes.
know? West Coast loves Biggie.
Warning.
Now they do.
Yeah. Now they do.
I love y'all, West Coast. I want to come out there soon. Just let me live, please. Let me live. I'm joking. I swear I'm joking. I'm sorry. Sorry. But is there anything else you want to say before we sign off today, Mike?
I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk on Black Seinfeld.
Stop. You're always welcome here, man. And we want to thank you guys for tuning into Black Seinfeld today. Show about absolutely nothing. My final statement is, man, I hope y'all make it out well in the snow if you listen to this in the East Coast. If you live in warm weather, you know, all I can say is I don't like you right now. So thank you very much for tuning into Black Seinfeld. We'll see you guys again next week. Peace out. Wu-Tang.